Well, we want to keep bringing you as much SEC perspective as we can. So we're trying to get the best in the business with us from the SEC Network. You see him all over TV. You hear him on radio. Cole Kubelik joining us, man. Thanks for your time this morning. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, guys. Looking forward to it.
So tell me a little bit from your perspective, because we've been having a conversation all week about the state of the SEC, and that sometimes is internal and external when you look at the rest of college football and the landscape. When you look at the SEC going into this year, where does it stand in your mind? Is the SEC okay?
I think so. I think that last year was a little bit of an anomaly, and I even said going into last year that I was concerned about how teams were going to piece together wins, because I thought with the elite talent that was coming back up front on defense and the lack of experience along the offensive lines and at the quarterback position, that some teams were in trouble and there would be some bad upsets in the league, because I thought teams would lose quarterbacks. And we know how valuable that position is in this conference and in college football. And you kind of saw that last year with Auburn having trouble keeping a quarterback healthy. You had Ole Miss, obviously, lose Chad Kelly. So around the league, you had guys. I mean, Florida couldn't keep any of their quarterbacks healthy. And I think that'll be a little bit of a different story this year. But I think the conference is in good shape, good standing. I'm not going to go out on a limb and say that I think it's just going to be the best conference in college football this fall. I don't think it was last year. And I think they have some work to do if they want to be again this year.
When you look at the league, there's certainly the Nick Saban effect has affected the coaching ranks and all the question marks that we have with all these coaching staffs and head coaches in the league. But with the fan bases, the expectations don't change. This is the SEC, and there's six or seven fan bases that expect to compete for championships every year. Should those fan bases just give up hope until Nick Saban retires?
You don't give up hope, because that's part of what athletics and playing a sport and being on a team is figuring out ways to win and doing your best to build a team that can overcome adversity. The expectations, though, that you mentioned, Fitz, are just completely out of control. And I've referred to it as the Nick Saban, Urban Meyer effect. Saban probably more responsible for it than Urban Meyer. But just look what Urban did his first few years at Ohio State and just how dominant he was to be able to go in there and take a team on the field each week that seemingly just found ways to win and almost could not lose. Now, it's changed a little bit the last 2 years, but he's still been very successful. I think the expectations should be tempered across the board. We have a segment on my show where we rank coaches as recruits from a certain conference each week, and today we did the SEC, and there was only one 5-star coach, and that was Nick Saban, and there were no 4-star coaches. And we could make the argument that Gus Malzahn, the only other coach in the SEC with a conference title than Nick Saban, maybe should be a 4-star, but the last 2 years bumped him down to a 3-star. Jim McElwain didn't really have the body of work to be listed as a 4-star. He's a guy that I would probably have rated as a 4-star, but our system that we created didn't really allow it. So I think there's guys who have shown flashes of brilliance, but the difference with Saban has just been the consistency. And in today's day and age of college football, with what recruiting is, the arms race with facilities, it's very difficult to piece together teams that are successful year in, year out. And we pointed to a guy like Butch Jones, who was also rated as a 3-star coach, who's won 9 games 3 years in a row, won 3 consecutive bowl games. I'm not that old. I turned 40 this year, and I can remember a time when a lot of college football fans will be really happy with that and think that that's really good. And it's just not anymore. Like you said, the expectation is to win or compete for a national title every year, and it's just not real. And Nick Saban has done an amazing job of making us all believe that our teams should be able to do what his does, but they're not. But you can't give up. You continue to fight, scratch and claw. He has lost games. He has had years where he didn't win a championship, like last year. So you go out and you find a way to combat that. You try to piece together a team that can be competitive.
Well, Cole, let's stick with your stars analogy then. If you're looking at coaches that are 3-star coaches, the question becomes, if you're the SEC, do you try and keep these guys and get them developed into becoming 4-star coaches, or do they need to sort of start looking at blowing the process up and finding 4-star coaches that want to be a part of that culture?
Yeah, the unfortunate part about that is I don't think that we as a college football family allow ourselves time for coaches to truly develop. And some of that is that we haven't allowed them to develop before they take over as a head football coach. It's one thing that makes a hire like Lincoln Riley at Oklahoma so intriguing to me. I think he has every bit of the genetics and every bit of the thought process that would lead us to believe that he's going to be successful. But how much has he really proven that he deserves to be the head coach at one of the premier institutions in college football, a legacy university amongst college football fans and schools and programs? So, but he's done the right things. He had the guy in front of him sort of help hand over the reins. And we all view that as something that's probably going to work. But some of these coaches, like a Malzahn, like a Sumlin, like a Freeze, have been thrust in so quickly, especially if they come in and have some of that early success. The sustainability part of it is what they haven't had to experience or they haven't had to deal with, and maybe that's why they struggle a little bit. So I'm not sure that we give guys enough time to realistically develop into great collegiate head coaches, and that doesn't necessarily come on the back end. Some of that is we're not giving guys enough time as an understudy, an assistant coach, a coordinator, and maybe even a head coach at a smaller school before we just want to thrust them into being the head coach at one of the 5, 10, 15 premier universities in college football. And a lot of times that's just not going to work.
Cole, you mentioned one of the things that's positive about this year going into the season is the quarterback play. You don't think that's going to be as big of an issue this year. I think it's going to be a stark turnaround from last year. Certainly there are questions about Malik Zaire at Florida and Tennessee's quarterback battle, but it does look like the quarterback position is taking a major step forward this year.
Gigantic step. I think it will be in the best hands since, I guess it was 2012 with McCarron, Manziel, and Murray, when you really had just some guys who had a stronghold on their positions, mainstays at that position within the league. I think Jake Bentley's going to be a star at South Carolina. Nick Fitzgerald will be my first choice if I'm choosing SEC quarterbacks, just because I think he brings so much size, speed, and ability. And because of what he did in high school running the Veer, I think still has the most room to grow of any of these other quarterbacks in the league. Jalen Hurts is just a winner. I love his demeanor. I love him as a runner. I think he needs to grow a little bit more as a passer. Jacob Eason probably has the most NFL ability of any of the quarterbacks that we've mentioned. Shea Patterson is a highlight reel waiting to happen. It's kind of uncanny to think about the fact that we went into last year with so many unknowns and so many concerns at that position. And now we've got schools like Kentucky that have two SEC starting quarterbacks on their roster, and Auburn, who has a transfer in from Baylor, another Power 5 school that's going to beat out the returning starter who was banged up but still has starting experience. And you mentioned Malik Zaire sort of moving in there to Florida. They finally have options, and I think the thing that's held McElwain back more than anything else, quarterback position. So I think the SEC quarterbacks are going to be as good as they've been in maybe a decade, at least the last 6-8 years, and it will be a gigantic turnaround. I don't expect them to pass the Pac-12 just because I think with the upper echelon at that position in that league, I mean, Jake Browning doesn't get a near enough credit for how good of a collegiate quarterback that he's been. Everyone's in love with Sam Darnold. Josh Rosen has all the ability to be a top 5 pick. I'm not sure the SEC can supplant the Pac-12 this year, but I think we very well could be looking at the SEC as maybe the deepest quarterback conference as far as quality and probably second to the Pac-12 by the end of the season.
Cole, in that answer, you mentioned Kentucky, and something we've been trying to wrap our heads around the last couple of days. Kentucky and Vanderbilt specifically have had better records of late. Is that in your mind because those programs have improved, or is that in your mind because the top of the SEC East has gotten worse?
It's both. It's both. Florida and Georgia and Tennessee are not what they were when I was playing college football from 97 to 2000. I mean, that's the Tennessee-Florida game, it's weird to explain it to some of these younger kids or even people, younger people in the media who haven't been covering the sport very long. That, I mean, that was a college football semifinal game before there was a college football playoff. I mean, Florida-Tennessee used to decide the East. The East would pretty much decide who was going to win the SEC, and ultimately one of those teams had a chance to play for a national title. It's not the same right now, but Kentucky is getting better, and Mark Stoops has done a great job recruiting, bringing in talent, finding coaches that fit with what he wants to do. I think Eddie Grant had a great year as the OC last year. I expect him to take another step this year. I've got Kentucky finishing third in the East this year. As far as Vanderbilt goes, I think he saw a big turnaround when Coach Mason took over the defense, and I think they'll continue to grow from there. Do they have enough flash on offense to, if they get in trouble defensively, to be able to go put points on the board to try and find different ways to win games? I think that's actually going to be a big storyline within the SEC this year, is contrast and style games. there are going to be so many teams that can just flat out score points that some of these other teams that are not built to be that are going to get in trouble. You look at Ole Miss, you look at Missouri, you look at Auburn, you look at South Carolina. Teams like Florida, Georgia, Vanderbilt, LSU, they might not be built to deal with that. And if a team gets hot for two or three quarters, and if a team finds something schematically in your defense that you weren't ready for, you might not have enough time to adjust and go chase 24 or 38 points that are put up in the first half. And I think we'll see some upsets that way. But I do think both of those programs are on the upswing, and both have gotten better. Now, it's difficult to say Vanderbilt's gotten better because of where James Franklin had that program. I mean, he had them as good as they've ever been. So I'm not going to say that they're better than that or improving on that. But from where they dipped down after he left, I do think that they're on the way back up.
Awesome stuff. Guys, follow him on Twitter, at Cole Kubelik. Man, we appreciate your time this morning. Thanks for joining us.
Anytime, guys. Look forward to doing it again soon.
Thanks, Cole.
That's great stuff from Cole. We want to unpack some of that, react to that. Let's get into your thoughts on that, Braden. We'll do that next up on Braden and Fitz, ESPN 102.5 The Game.